The most versatile tandem in sports talk, Kwok and Kelly on Out of Bounds right here on 105.5 The Roar.
Can't stop, won't stop. Bo, Mike, go, stop. Nope, going back the other way.
And now, William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
I don't like your little games. Don't like your tilted stage.
You know, this is my favorite region because it combines both of our favorite things. Peter Griffin outing and making fun of glitches in popular Nintendo-era sports games. Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson! And Carter 3, that one, Peter Griffin, that's one of my favorite pastimes, is Peter exploiting glitches in games. And also, and you have Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah, it really pleases both of us.
You made me like this song.
Look what you made me do. New Hour 3 rejoin?
Yeah.
TBD.
I'm down.
We'll see. Look, we can never really have certain hour rejoins because I just press whatever button my mouse presses. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows?
Stay tuned.
We have Will Vandiver coming this segment. Can I just list for you the coaches in the Southeast Regional in 1997? This is how it's... Well, first of all, let me go to the other one, the East Regional, and then we'll get to the Southeast Regional. 1997, the last time Clemson went to the Sweet 16. In the East Regional, North Carolina was the number one seed. How about this shock of shocks? How about... This is just so fascinating to me. South Carolina and Eddie Fogler were the two seed, and if I'm not mistaken, that's when they lost to Coppin State, wasn't it? Did they lose to Coppin State that year? They did. That's when that's the year South Carolina lost the 2-15 game to Coppin State.
Ooh.
So you had Dean Smith, Eddie Fogler. You had Dave Bliss, disgraced former Baylor coach, who was coaching New Mexico at the time. You know, he like covered up murder.
Oh, yeah, the murder. Yeah. When Baylor had simpler times for Baylor, really.
Right. Denny Crum was at Louisville. Dick Bennett was at Wisconsin, Tony Bennett's dad. Bob Knight was at Indiana. They lost an 8-9 game. Tom Pender's at Texas. Bruiser Flint, great sports names at UMass. Bill Carmody, former Northwestern head coach, was at Princeton. How about Jeff Capel II was at Old Dominion, the 14th seed?
Wow.
And then we get to the Southeast Regional. Here are the coaches in the Southeast Regional. You ready? Roy Williams, Kansas. Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K at Duke.
Oh, yeah, you can't pronounce the name.
I'm sorry. I never heard of him.
Interesting.
Tubby Smith. Where was Tubby Smith coaching at the time? Where was he coaching?
Oh, shoot.
Where was he coaching? 1997. Before Kentucky, was at... His son played for him.
A Midwestern school.
No.
Okay, no. So off.
Georgia.
Was he really?
Georgia, 3 seed at Georgia. Yeah, they had a good team.
You know 97 was an incoherent time for me. I'm sorry.
Lute Olson.
I know Lute.
Arizona. Gary Williams.
Maryland.
Right. So we're talking Hall of Fame. 6 seed, Illinois, coached by Lon Kruger. One of the 92 schools that Lon Kruger has taken to the NCAA tournament.
Lon Kruger has been everywhere.
Yeah, he only goes to the NCAA tournament. Mike Dean. Travis Dean. Remember Travis Dean? That played for Marquette. Oh, gosh. Mike Dean was the coach at Marquette. Gene Cady at Purdue. Al Skinner at Rhode Island, 9 seed. Pete Gillen, former Virginia coach.
Didn't new Clemson assistant Reynolds Dean, he played for Skinner, I would
think,
at
Rhode
Island.
I think that's right.
I'm pretty sure.
Pete Gillen, pre-Virginia at Providence, number 10. After Patino and Rick Barnes, Pete Gillen was the coach at Providence. True story. Henry Bibby, Mike's dad, at USC. John Kress was at College of Charleston. And the 15-seed Murray State was coached by a young whippersnapper head coach, up-and-comer, named Mark Gottfried.
Wow.
Think about
what a tournament.
What a time.
What
man.
A tournament.
What a time. What a great trip down memory lane. All these coaches coaching different places. It's fun to look back because you know them when they were established, but the grind. You missed the grind.
You know
you
who
missed
was,
the Tubby Smith at Georgia years.
You know who was at the same place they're at now?
Kirk Ferentz.
Well, yeah. But the man, the man you've never heard of. Mike.
Mike Krzyzewski. 20 names and 20 letters and no vowels. Okay. Chance the Rapper. Will Vandiver joins us right now from the ClemsonInsider.com. He was there in 1997, or he was around. in 1997 when Clemson went to the Sweet 16 last. What's up, Willie B?
Yeah, I was around. It was just before I started my career as a sports writer. And by the way, Quark, it's Mike Krzyzewski.
Oh, that's how you say the name? Sorry,
that's how you say it.
He's a relative unknown in the sports world, so I couldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't know.
I know you hate him, man, but come on, give him his due. Give him his due.
Willie V, as a fan of one winning program to a fan of another winning program, thank you, Willie V. As a Steelers fan, a Duke, you know how we do.
Oh, speaking of Steelers, by the way, what about saying they're going to beat the Patriots when they have a team to play that already beat them this season? Will Vandervoort, that has to unsettle you at midweek of a playoff week.
I'm sure you saw my tweet.
Yeah, I did. I did. I could tell that there was some fear and trepidation. In fact, I think I saw sweat beads, like beads of sweat on the tweet as I read it.
Yeah, I need to get that one of thinking emoji with the sweat going down. That needs to be made if the emoji people out there are listening. That's the one that needs to be made. Because what a stupid thing for Mike Mitchell to say. What a stupid thing. Let's beat the Jaguars first, and then we'll worry about the Patriots. But I agree with them. There's no doubt they get past Jacksonville, they're going to beat the Patriots. I'm saying that right now. I think Mike Tomlin made that a point in week 17 when he sat his starters against Cleveland and said, I don't care about home field advantage. I think he made his point there that they feel like they can beat them. But like you said, and like I'm worried about, they got to beat Jacksonville first, and let's worry about that one. And then we'll worry about those ugly teams called the Patriots that nobody likes.
Well, they are like a million-point favorites. Oh, I do need to ask you about this, too, because I was loving the ESPN takedown of the Patriots and their mystique and all the lore of the Patriots or whatever. And basically painting – the one thing I was uncomfortable with is it painted Bill Belichick as less than a robot or some sort of evil spirit that's come here to torment us all. Your thoughts on the ESPN piece that tried to take down the modern day sports Camelot, to use a Boston JFK reference, in New England.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know. I know we're supposed to talk about Clemson and all, but it's interesting, you know, about what's going on up there. I listened to what is it, Teddy Bruschi? Is that right? Is that
yes.
Right?
That's how you say it. Linebacker. Hey, come on now. That's like Krzyzewski. Come on now.
Yeah, I know. But I was making sure.
Yeah.
But I was interested in his comments. I don't know if you heard his comments, but he said it was that way when he played. He said it was the same way. There was nothing different. And he kind of said there was being much made about nothing. That it's always been that way up there. There's always been that power struggle, and that it is what it is.
Very interesting to hear the Steeler Will's take on this. All right, going to Clemson, Deion Kane tells us he's going pro now. Not really a shocker to anybody, I don't think. Is there anything, any decision, either going or staying, or maybe the NA that we have from basically the entire defensive line and from like Mitch Hyatt and those guys, anything that stood out to you that surprised you so far in hearing from the Clemson players?
Well, the thing that stood out to me right now is that we haven't heard anything from those guys you just mentioned. And I think this is just me speculating, but I think the longer you go, then there's something to it. There's a reason why these guys they're really struggling with their decision. And people don't realize it's a hard decision. People think, oh, first round, millions of dollars, you know, what an easy decision to make. But it's not really that easy. You know, when you put yourself in that situation, you know, and you're a guy like Cleveland Farrell who loves his teammates, right? And I mean, this kid does. I mean, he's one of the – I tell you what, I've been doing this 14 years covering the Clemson Beat. He is one of my favorite players because he is so much about his team and his teammates. He really is. And he's struggling with what he wants to do. And I think Christian Wilkins, he cried, guys, when we were talking to him and trying to ask him that question after the Sugar Bowl. I mean, and he was crying about his teammates and how he let his team down and stuff like that. These guys love their team. And, this is a difficult decision for him. It just isn't as simple as, oh, I'm a first-round pick, I'm going to go pro. They're really struggling whether they want to leave or not. And, you know, I respect these kids because I can't imagine being 20 years old, 21 years old, and having to make this decision in my life. I mean, that's a tough decision. It's just not as easy as seeing the dollar signs and going, especially for guys who love and respect their teammates as much as these guys do.
You know, I would not have ever guessed, and Kelly's got a question after this, I would have never guessed that Christian Wilkins would be in school longer, which if he comes back, he would be. than his long-lost brother, Gabe DeVoe. Would have never, ever guessed that in a million years, that he would be here longer than Gabe.
Yes, that is so true. I tell you what, that was great yesterday, Gabe DeVoe talking to us about that, and just how those two, and Christian sees him, he says, what's up, Twin? You know, as he's walking by campus and all, they've actually talked about it several times. I mean, and they do. I mean, Gabe looks like a small version of Christian Wilkins. He really does, and it's crazy. They got the same nose, same basically same beard and everything. Facial structure, it's crazy. They look like twins.
They really do. If you haven't ever thought about that, just go look those two guys up and compare them side by side, and your mind will be blown. Just go do that right now.
They're missing an opportunity to like do a Freaky Friday swap Wilkins is J and threes and DeVoe's out there hitting sleds on the practice field. They're missing
now,
a
I think
golden opportunity.
Wilkins can hit the three. I don't know if DeVoe can hit the sled.
No.
Would Wilkins be a better basketball player or DeVoe be a better football player? Go.
That's a great question. I can tell you this honestly. Gabe DeVoe could not be an All-American defensive tackle.
Well, yes. I'm not sure Christian Wilkins could stay in front of guys on the perimeter, though. I don't know.
Maybe so. He's pretty athletic.
He'd be a physical defender. I'll give him that. That'll be fun to watch. Willie V, my question about the defensive line, if these guys come back, how does that change what this team can accomplish? I guess my question is, if they leave, Clemson's still going to be solid on the D-line, but you're going to have some young guys in there. If they come back, I mean, does that mean the sky is the limit for Clemson? Does it change what Clemson can do if these guys leave or stay?
Absolutely. It changes a lot, because think about it this way. You got a guy, you bring back Austin Bryant and Cleveland Farrell, a defensive end, and you got a guy named Xavier Thomas coming in. Now, all of a sudden, you've got some very good quality depth on your defensive line that you didn't have this year. And so now you can give a guy like Cleveland Farrell a little breather and bring in a guy like Xavier Thomas. You know, granted, he's not as experienced, but he's such a dynamic player. Xavier Thomas is going to be somebody, he's going to be playing this year. I mean, he really is. I mean, they need him. They need the depth on that line. And he brings that kind of talent that you want. I mean, Cleveland Farrell could have played as a true freshman if he had not gotten hurt. And so as long as Xavier Thomas stays healthy, he's going to play. And then you add those two guys back in the mix as well, and all of a sudden your defensive ends are as good as anybody's in the country. And then you also got some other guys that redshirted this year that are going to be used. And you got an Xavier Kelly who's making progress, and you're going to get Richard Yergin back. And then on the defensive side, on the defensive line, you got some other young guys that are going to come in and keep getting better, as Albert Huggins and those guys. And if Christian Wilkins stays another year, now you've got even more solid depth on the inside as well, and you're bringing Dexter Lawrence back. I mean, they were the best defensive line in the country this past year, and there's no doubt they'll be the best defensive line. And what that does is now all of a sudden Clemson's defense is not really losing anybody but maybe two players. And now you bring back a defense that finished number four in the country. You bring back eight starters on a team that finished number four in the country in total defense, second in scoring defense. You bring back your entire defensive front. There's not going to be a team that's going to be able to move the ball against these guys, because they're going to be even better next year, because they're going to be a little bit a year wiser, if you will, and another year in the program, another year developing. So it really will make a big difference for Clemson's defense next year. They're going to be good next year defensively anyway, but now they're going to be, like, extremely good.
TCI's Will Vandenborre join us here in Out of Bounds. Did anything from the national championship, I said this beforehand, that the one thing Clemson people couldn't afford in this national championship was for Georgia to win and change the paradigm. But if Bama won, then it keeps the status quo pretty much intact, because Georgia's losing a bunch. And that's okay, because Clemson knows how to operate within the status quo. Then Tua comes in and lights Alabama's offense on fire, not in a bad way to like engulf it in flames, but in a good way to like carry the torch to national championship. And now you're thinking, crap, now Alabama's got a quarterback that's going to be there 2 years. For Clemson fans, did anything change on Monday night in terms of looking forward, at least in the near future?
No, I think Clemson is one of the top four programs in the country. You can argue top two. I think there's only one program you can say is better than Clemson's right now, and that's Alabama's. Even if Georgia would have won, it wouldn't have changed that thought, because Clemson has done it consistently now, you know, three straight years in the college football playoff, three straight years in the final top four. seven straight years of 10-win seasons, three straight ACC championships. I mean, I can go on and on and on with all the accolades. Clemson has consistently proven over and over again that they're one of the elite programs in the country. And that's not going to change next year either, especially when you look back at who they're bringing back on offense, who they're bringing back on defense, and the possibility, you know, that lies out there still as we get further into this week of, you know, maybe they even get even more back on defense. You know, they're built, just as Dabo Swinney said, this program's built for the long haul. And he made a point of that during his after National Signing Day, that they're not going anywhere. And I think they proved that this past season by, you know, having a first-year quarterback take them, with all the people they lost, took them to the college football playoff again. And, you know, they're definitely going to be a favorite to go back there next year. They're the favorite to win the ACC next year. And so it didn't matter as far as that goes. I mean, I think Dabo Swinney will tell you that they expect to see Alabama there every year. And that's his goal as a program, is to make sure they're there every year and that they're one giving Alabama fits. And so we'll see if that happens as we move forward here with the way these two programs have been playing lately.
Our final question for you, Willie V, basketball-wise. We're at the point in Clemson's 10-game win streak where you wait for the next loss. Like, it ends up, it's like Peter walking on the water toward Jesus, and then he looks down and starts sinking. Like, eventually, after you take a bunch of steps, you realize that, oh, crap, I'm walking on the water right now, and you look down. Clemson's won 10 in a row. How long can this realistically go? I mean, I guess a better way of saying that, like, how good is Clemson? Could it go like 18-1, 19-1? Could the Tigers just keep reeling off wins like this? Or is a correction coming?
I think at some point, just because of what conference they're in, the correction is going to come at some point. That doesn't mean Clemson is going to fall off the face of the earth, because I think this team is too good to do that. I said it before the season that I thought this team was talented enough to make the NCAA tournament. I think we're seeing that right now, and I still think that's going to be the case. But when you look at the schedule they have coming up, I mean, it is ridiculous with, you know, NC State, which is going to be a tough road game, Miami coming back, you know, Miami's a top 15 caliber team, North Carolina, Notre Dame, you know, Virginia, and then North Carolina comes here. I mean, you got Florida State twice at the end of the season, and you got Duke in there as well, and a road game at Virginia Tech. I mean, Qualk, that is a murderous road in the ACC. But if Clemson can, you know, maybe right now they're 3-0, if they can somehow, you know, go, you know, win maybe 7 or 8 of those games and finish 12-6 in the conference, or 11-7, I mean, they're in great shape for what they want to do. And I think that's a possibility for them as they go forward. This team has the possibility to finish in that top 5 or 6, definitely in the top 8 in this conference. And if they do that, they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. So I do think things will correct themselves just because the ACC is so tough. But I still think this is a very good basketball team, and they're going to beat some people. And they're going to beat some people that probably are going to surprise some people. And we'll find that out as the season goes on. But I really like the dynamics of this basketball team. I like the way they're playing together. I like their guard play. And we all know if your guard play is playing well, that you've got a chance to do a lot of things. When Eli Thomas is on and they got that inside-outside going, they're as tough as anybody. If he could just develop a move to the right side, then he'd be unstoppable. Because his, you know, every team seems to be defending his left side. If he can make that move to the right side, which you saw him do one time in that game the other day in that last home game against Louisville, having a hard time there. He made one move and it was wide open. I was like, man, if he just realizes he can do that every time, that right side's going to be open all the time because everybody's playing to the left.
He is Will Vandevort, ladies and gentlemen, from the ClemsonInsider.com. What's coming up on TCI this week? What can the folks get ready for?
Well, we're doing a lot of things. We got the watch on for all the players and see who's going to go pro, who's not. So we'll have all that. Gavin is doing a lot of recruiting stuff. And as soon as we know who's coming back, we'll start breaking down the next year's roster and looking ahead to spring practice and things like that. So always got a lot of football going on. Obviously going to have a lot of basketball going on. And, Qualk, guess what? We're just a few weeks away from the start of baseball
season. Yeah, baby. Love it.
So we'll have that going on as well. As you know, we cover baseball better than anybody. Clemson baseball. So we got a lot of stuff going on at the Clemson Insider. So, you know, come on over and check us out. And that thing that's great about it, Qualk, is we're 100% free 24/7.
Absolutely. The most thorough coverage anywhere, the Clemson Insider. Thanks so much, Willie V. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your week.
All right, Quack. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, thanks very much. You too. Will Vandervoort, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking news. Breaking news. Calvin Ridley's going pro. That is a lottery pick right
there. I, for one, am shocked.
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 Was he the second best Ridley in the Natty?
Kind of. A little bit.
Little brother stole the show with his 5 catches going in and 19 targets or whatever it was. Jake Fromm. All of a sudden, Jake Fromm's favorite target. Calvin Ridley's brother. Imagine that. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds. More Hump Day headlines. And we return next.
The Harlem Globetrotters will dribble into Greenville with their action-packed world tour at Bon Secours Wellness Arena this Saturday, January 13th at 2 and 7 p.m. Witness amazing Globetrotter moments that become unforgettable Globetrotter memories. Feel the dunks. See the ball handling. Experience the antics that will have kids of all ages laughing the whole time. Don't miss the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters at Bon Secours Wellness Arena Saturday at 2 and 7 p.m. Great seats are still available at Ticketmaster.com.
At last, the new year is here. What do you see ahead? Happy days and carefree nights?
Credit card bills?
Right, credit card bills.
Looking at months of high-interest credit card bills from all that generous holiday gift giving? Time to go to Lightstream and get a low-interest rate credit card consolidation loan. Act now to get an even lower rate with our special radio listener discount. Go to Lightstream.com/sports to get rates as low as 5.39% APR with AutoPay. And with average interest rates on credit cards at 17% APR, Lightstream could save you thousands of dollars in interest. Makes the new year a whole lot brighter, doesn't it? The application takes minutes online. There are no fees, and you can have funds as soon as today. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount at Lightstream.com/sports. That's Lightstream.com/sports. Lightstream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com for important information about limits on Lightstream loans and same-day funding.
Rely on EnviroMulch, supplying quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. Their winter special, get double ground hardwood mulch for just $20 per yard. Order online with promo code WCCP. Now with a discount supply from your friends at EnviroMulch.
Cars cost less than travelers rest. For just $20,999 after rebates, plus tax and tag, you can be in a 2018 Escape S front-wheel drive. They have a great selection, and they never charge any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford. See the 2018 Escape S at George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less than travelers rest, and they never charge any dealer fees. Nearly 90 years in business, taking care of customers like you, George Coleman Ford.
You know Joe's New York Pizza is all about the sauce, because I've told you so. Here's the thing, people. They have outrageous wings as well. They're not fried. And if you're up to the task, you can even get them with Cajun Asian sauce. Their meatballs and marinara come with their famous garlic knots. And remember, if you have certain food allergies, Joe's offers gluten-free. Joe's has delivery, and they're great for fundraisers. And the Clemson location caters with 2 locations in Seneca and Clemson. Joe's New York Pizza.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color? What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
The Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson. Your independent local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
You should think of my work as wordless sound poems.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
What do you mean? When you nod your head yes, but you want to say no. What do you mean? Hey, yeah. When you don't want me to move, but you tell me to go. What do you mean?
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. 654 Roars the number. If you'd like to get in with us, we're going to fly through some Hump Day headlines here. We're not going to have time to get to the rankings for next year. We'll get to that along with some Clemson basketball talk tomorrow and a bunch of the other stuff we were going to discuss today.
And we have one more trivia question. We'll do that in our final segment. It is a football-related question for the 4 tickets to the South Carolina Auto Show, which is this weekend. So yes. Stay tuned for that.
All right. You have several Hump Day headlines that we've yet to we've yet to get to.
I'm going to do my best to get through
people,
these.
We rarely deliver on all of our promises, so we try to deliver on at least one a show.
Very rarely.
And so we need to do that right
okay,
now.
Okay, well, let's just start here, Kwok, because you know the Winter Olympics are coming. They're coming.
Correct.
And I mainly love to talk about the Olympics before they start because there are always some absolute terrible headlines because things are always going wrong all the time. We saw this with Rio, remember? We had some great headlines from Rio before the games began.
Yeah, I can't wait for Pyeongchang.
All right. Are you ready for this first headline?
Oh, man. Yes.
Oh, man. After rare talks with the South, North Korea will send a delegation to the Winter Olympics.
Really?
They're going.
So North and South Korea can't get together on anything.
Except for the Winter Olympics.
Hey, this is Un, you know, Kim Jong. And I know that we haven't exactly been on speaking terms recently, but with this international event going on, your borders and all, and I just thought it'd be good if we sat down and chatted about, you know, putting our differences aside for these meaningless games where we're neither one of us going to win many medals. And I feel like it'd just be an important statement of the world of solidarity if we could just fake it till we make it through this event.
North Korea said during rare talks with the South, I love how they refer to South Korea as the South. On Tuesday, it will send a delegation to the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics in South Korea next month. And Seoul said it was prepared to lift some sanctions temporarily to facilitate the visit if needed. North Korea, its first formal talks with South Korea in more than 2 years. It took the Winter Olympics to bring these two together.
Listen, I know that we... You know, haven't really been on speaking terms, but this is kind of a big deal for all of us, don't you think?
North Korea said their delegation for the games will consist of athletes, high-ranking officials, and a cheerleading squad.
Why a cheerleading squad? What did the North Korean cheerleaders look like? That's what I wanted to know. What do they look like? Honestly, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the grayest Brooklyn Nets looking uniforms ever with like the scrawniest, most malnutritioned, like underserved people in the history of time rolling up in there.
Kwok, I'm so glad you asked because I have more information for you. The cheerleading squad, exclusively made up of young, attractive women and teenage girls. The last time the North Korean squad participated at a sporting event south of the border. South of the border. Kwok, just wait. Was the 2005 Asian Games in Incheon. I don't know what that is.
It's right outside of Dallas. Go ahead.
The 2005 North Korea cheerleading squad at the Asian Games. A member of that squad was Ri Sol-ju, who is now Kim Jong-un's wife.
I don't even know why that's funny, but it is. It's funny.
The last time they sent a cheerleading squad was back in the 2005 Asian Games, and that squad included 16-year-old Ri Sol-ju, who is now the first lady.
What is that? I'm still trying to figure out, what is that voicemail? Hey, what up? How's it hanging there in the South? It's old KJ Un. And we just want to work out a deal so my wife can relive her past cheerleading exploits down in Pyeongchang for the Winter Olympics. We've been training for this for moments. I mean, hours now. We've been out there training, scouring our, you know. I just have this thing where, like, North Korea is just a wasteland. Where, like, you think it never, the sun never shines, like, in the Northeast or in London. Like, North Korea, I swear, like, they have nothing. There's nothing there except gray, barren wasteland.
The last time the North Korea cheerleaders were... it's just a weird sentence. We're going to participate in something. In the 2014 Asian Games, the North Korean delegation wanted... They blocked the participation of their cheerleading squad for whatever reasons, according to the South Korean media.
Marriage on the rocks.
The South Korean media, though, dubbed the squad, quote, the Army of Beauties. End quote.
Of course they did. Of course they made it military. They don't know how to do anything that's not military.
Oh, man. Anyway, oh, so just gosh. Stay tuned with what's going to happen in Pyeongchang. It's so fun.
I, I know, like, gymnastics, they train for world championships, but really it's for every 4 years. Like, figure skaters, they're just trying to get good for every 4 years for the Olympics. Is that what North Korea does with their cheerleaders? Like, are they having a practice on a random March day, like in 2015, and they're like, now our end goal is these 2018 Winter Olympics, and this is the next thing we're going to be doing. So for 3 years, they're doing tumbling with this in mind.
If we go.
Right, that's
we'll
right.
We'll see.
That's
if
right.
If they let us come.
Right.
Good
if relations improve with the South.
All right. One more headline for you. We'll end with it. I can read you the Wisconsin one, but it's just, I don't know.
Man.
Do you want it? Do you want that
give
one?
Give me the Wisconsin one now because I'm in a good
all right,
mood.
All right.
I'm liable to laugh at it now, regardless.
This one is outrageous. Okay. Are you aware of, there is this, okay, where is it? Let me find it. Here we go. The headline is, Maryland Attorney General, Wisconsin stay in a Trump hotel might violate the Constitution.
What?
Have you not heard of this?
No, I don't have any idea what this is.
Okay, so last year there was this issue, this concern that because Trump owns property that Wisconsin, for example, Wisconsin is a state-funded university.
Right.
So therefore, it's a state paying something
Donald
owned by
Trump.
The president.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
All right. Yeah.
So, oh man, when the Wisconsin football team, athletic department staff, and other university officials went to Miami for the Orange Bowl, late December, just happened, they stayed in a Trump resort. That specific hotel wasn't a choice by the athletic department. The Doral Resort was selected by the Orange Bowl committee back in 2014 because who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew?
Right.
Donald Trump was being president. But it was paid for by the University of Wisconsin, which is a state-funded university. So they're saying that this could be a violation of the Constitution.
And why is Maryland...
I don't know.
Like, why
I
is the Maryland know. AG involved in it? Like, what does that have to do
with
anything?
Okay, because in July of last year, the District of Columbia and the state of Maryland together sued Donald Trump for violating anti-corruption clauses in the Constitution. By maintaining ownership of his business during his presidency, the lawsuit said states and foreign countries could gain sway over Trump by patronizing those businesses, blah, blah, blah. So Maryland was involved last year, and I guess they're just championing the cause of Wisconsin paying the state of Wisconsin paying to stay at one of the president's hotels.
Didn't Trump win Wisconsin? Wasn't that one of the states he won?
Probably.
This has got to be retribution
from
Maryland.
Isn't that crazy, though?
This has got to be retribution for Wisconsin.
I just feel bad for the Orange Bowl committee.
They get to be pawns now in this lawsuit.
The Orange Bowl committee, who had no idea back in 2014 that they could be violating the Constitution by having Wisconsin stay at a Trump hotel in 2017.
No, that's...
How on earth would you have known that?
The Orange Bowl committee, I mean, bless their hearts, they should have brought Miss Cleo in as a consultant, apparently. Texter said from the 7-6 says, typical Maryland screwing up college football.
Classic. Classic.
The Maryland Attorney General. Hey, Wisconsin, you should have voted for Hillary. And because of that, we're going to throw you in this lawsuit. I promise. And that's got to be it. Everybody's so petty in politics.
I just thought that was outrageous. Okay, last one. Last
yes.
headline of the day. Okay. It's from the Washington Post.
Yes.
Quote, world's worst canoe teammate.
You can stop right there.
World's worst canoe teammate gets 8-year ban for spiking rival's drink in Japan.
Oh, I saw this.
Did you see this?
I didn't know what sport, but I saw this. Yes.
Okay. This tale, told by the Japan Times, went down during a national sprint canoe championship in September in Ishikawa somewhere.
It's in Japan.
Okay. Fearing competition for a spot on the Japanese national team in the upcoming 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, Yashiro Suzuki spiked the drink of rival Komatsu in hopes that Komatsu would later be banned. Komatsu indeed failed a drug test after the competition. The drink was spiked with a muscle-building supplement containing the steroid methandienine. But the Japan... the Japan Canoe Federation... That's a thing.
Do we have an American canoe for the ACF?
I don't know.
The USCF, the Canoe Federation.
The Japan
of the
Canoe
United States.
Federation began an investigation after his claims that he had not knowingly ingested the performance enhancer. Not only did the Federation find Suzuki had spiked Komatsu's drink, but it also found that he had made repeated attempts to sabotage other competitors by such means as... This is just outrageous.
Honestly, I love how you're just reading along like a school teacher reading to her class. And then all of a sudden it's just like, and it just falls way off.
I've read these multiple times to try not to laugh. I really have.
It's not a slow decline. There's a da-da-da-da-da-da, boom, and it falls off a cliff.
He's tried to sabotage other people by stealing their equipment.
Hey, where'd our boat go? Hey!
And spiking their drinks with Suzuki. Drugs.
Suzuki, you seen our boat?
The best part of this, Quack, Suzuki, the guy in question. Guess where he finished at last year's world championships?
It had to be last. It had to be last. Please, please say it's last. Please tell me if it is last.
24th!
Out of how
many?
You're
spiking people's drinks. Well, I don't know how many.
He's got a long way to go. He's experimenting. He's in the experimental stages now. How do you got to know that's happening in real time though? Because how do you know he spiked it? Like, wouldn't your initial thing be like?
Because he's been stealing people's canoes for years.
Well, I know that, but the guy did the guy failed a drug test, right?
Yeah.
He was like,
but he said it wasn't me.
You know, in Japan, apparently, they do that. Like, think about all the baseball players that were like, I don't know how this happened.
Right.
It just went over my system. Never once did we think, yeah, those stupid Oakland A's, they're just sabotaging the Giants. They're trying to get the Giants players to fail drug tests by slipping stuff in their drinks. And never once did we, I mean, the fact that the Japanese actually entertain that is like, well, that does sound plausible. Let's investigate right now so we can test the cup. I mean, you got to test the drink.
Well, the Japanese are big on sportsmanship, and the end of this article, I don't even know why I try to say these names. It makes me laugh more.
Please do.
This man,
say them. Say
them. Toshihiko Furuya.
That's good. That's well played.
The
well
managing played. Director of the Japan Canoe Federation.
The JCF.
He said, quote, it is a significant loss for the Japanese people who have spent many years building up sportsmanship as a virtue.
You know what I'm thinking of right now? You know what I'm thinking of right now? It has nothing to do with anything. You know what I'm thinking of? You bring honor to us all. That's what I'm thinking of. Like that. That's what I think of. I'm thinking of Mulan. That's all I can think of. It's just a soundtrack of Mulan.
Oh, Mulan. The greatest Disney princess of all time, bar none.
Oh, mercy.
It is a significant loss for Japanese people who have spent many years building up sportsmanship as a virtue.
I can't.
The Japan Canoe Federation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is a thing that is being cited in the Washington Post.
The Japanese, unlike most cultures, the Japanese people value sportsmanship.
I wonder if we have an American Canoe Federation. We have to, right?
Can we look that up? One of these interns in here, can y'all look this up? Just in the, can we get the American, do we have it?
I found it.
We
I
already
just
have
Googled
it.
Oh,
never
it's
mind.
It's there.
Abort mission.
The American Canoe Federation. Oh, God. They're terrible.
Just go. Just finish. You gotta get through. Y'all, Kelly is like writhing right now. This is writhing.
Oh, man. Making the world a better place to paddle since 1880. I'm done for the segment. Goodbye. Good night.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. Final segment is coming up next.
If you are in need of eye care and would like a more personal experience, consider Westminster Vision. We are locally owned and staffed with 3 convenient locations to serve you in Clemson, Pendleton, and of course, Westminster. We offer a large selection of eyewear and all types of medical care, even on Saturdays. So for quick, reasonable service you can trust, call us for an appointment at 646-3535.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
anything that's made just for you is a perfect fit, right? Like a tailored suit. It fits your measurements, no one else's. That same kind of fit is exactly what Engineered Sleep strives for. A mattress made just for you, built to your sleeping patterns and habits. What could be more important than a good night's rest? Engineered Sleep wants to make it a perfect night's rest. If after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process. Learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there is no middleman. Factory to you! And you can score a significant discount by picking up your mattress instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. You will need to change your card to a federally approved Real ID to use it for air travel and access to federal facilities. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a Real ID license online. Required documents on file with the SCDMV, driving privileges in good standing, and a regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license, and a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
Does your home have wall cracks, uneven floors, or doors and windows that are sticking? These are all signs that a foundation problem is stealing value from your home. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 475-1671. We know your home is your number one investment, and we can help protect it. Don't wait for a foundation problem to get worse. If you have sagging floors or cracks in your sheetrock, call Canty Foundation Specialist, 475-1671, or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
It says a lot about a business who served the upstate for 30 years. It says even more when that business, family-owned and operated, has continued to grow and take care of thousands of homeowners like you. Roto-Rooter of the Upstate is full service with 24-hour emergency attention to your plumbing issues. 30 years in business, family-owned and operated, and proud alumni of Clemson. Roto-Rooter. Online at RotoRooterSC or call them at 288-7686.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And wake your troubles down the drain.
Get your point across in 140 characters or less at 105.5 The Roar.
I have seen stocks of corn with better physiques. Makes me want to pull an ear off, Private. Corporal, make sure you keep this man away from strong winds.
Yes, Sergeant.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
That might be the hardest I've ever laughed on air. That was so good. And then we got this text from the 919. The American Canoe Federation, founded by Lewis and Clark.
Making the world a better place to paddle since 1880.
And here's the thing. I'm not making fun of any of that. I actually like canoes. I like the idea of canoe. If we, you know, if I had $1 zillion to go spend on a canoe, I would try to canoe. I just think it seems fun to me. But man, that is so funny. And some of your texts are just the funniest thing. And we cannot read this on air. We cannot read this stuff on air. Also, Milan is not Japanese. And that's probably a little bit racist I brought it up. But I just, that's what it felt. It felt like dishonor. Like dishonor to the family.
Yeah, it did.
For Suzuki. And so that's what made me think of Milan.
If it helps, I was obsessed with Milan as a child and still love her very much. And I was her for Halloween multiple years in a row.
Who were we traveling with that said they had never seen Milan? Who was hating on Milan? It was Buck.
Oh,
happy birthday to Buck, by the way. Buck, the video coordinator for women's basketball, never seen Milan.
That's a travesty.
Don't know how you've gone through life with
that. We're going to work on that.
You want to... I don't know. We got so much to do. We're giving away. What are we giving away this segment?
We've made too many promises.
I know.
Okay. We have 4 tickets to the South Carolina International Auto Show this weekend, January 12th through 14th at the TD Convention Center. The question is as follows. Call us. And we will get you these tickets. All right. The question is as follows. Which Clemson receiver that is currently not eligible for the NFL draft had the most receptions this season? There are 3 other guys that are currently eligible for the draft that had more receptions than this player, but this player was 4th. They had the most receptions of any non-eligible, non-draft eligible Clemson receiver. Call us right now,
The numbers, the phone number, which we say every day on the show.
654-7627,
yeah,
okay?
654-ROAR is the number.
I know the number, Sanders. Stop looking at me like that.
Sanders has looked at Kelly like a
He's given me all the looks today.
Those are happy looks.
Okay, those are happy looks.
I'm supportive.
Happy looks.
You are,
Sanders. Oh, man. Sanders, we've really not given you a chance to comment on much today. Do you have any thoughts on, like, anything that we've done so far? Anything at all?
You know... Not really. It's been y'all have pretty much covered all the bases.
Really.
Not really much.
Any thoughts on the North and South Koreans getting together for this Olympics deal?
I could barely even keep up with what y'all are saying. It was a lot. I will say that Kim Jong-un and the cheerleader sounds like a real Cinderella story.
Right? Doesn't it? Did she...
Like a high school prom movie, you know, like the quarterback dates the cheerleader. And they run off into the sunset.
What are the chances she had a choice? Like, where would we put the odds that she had a choice in that marriage?
Slim to none.
I would say like 20%. I'm saying like 20% chance that she had a choice. Some of your texts on the health there text on, I just can't.
We
have a winner.
Mm-hmm.
What was the answer?
The answer is Amari Rodgers.
Bingo.
Hunter Renfrow, then Deion Kane, Ray McLeod, and then Amari Rodgers, the most receptions of any non-draft eligible receiver with 18.
Again, he was one of those guys that, like, you take the snap and you turn and throw it over there.
That's
and
right.
And so you're going to get catches that way. I want to see Rodgers and McLeod roll next year, though. I'm intrigued.
I'm very intrigued. Chris Sheriff is our winner. He will be heading to the auto show this weekend, and we are done with our Oprah segment of the show, giving away everything.
Awesome. We have three. Are you done with Hump Day headlines? Is that it? Okay.
Oh, it's over. It's done.
Now, yesterday on the show, we played the calls for the Natty, and one of the calls, in fact, my favorite call, was the Sean McDonough clip where he was, it sounded like, what did they say? It was like Charlie in a Box from Rudolph, somebody said on the text line, but it's the voice crack. Sean McDonough's always good for a good voice crack, and so we thought to ourselves, what are some of the great voice crack calls in all time? There's one of me, and this is not one of the great ones, but from years ago.
There's also one recently.
There's one recently. Yeah, with the buzzer beat. Do we have that?
This
Can
was
we pull
this
that
was,
up real quick?
I mean, no, not real quick.
No, it would take too much time.
Quack was this was Quack. Tigers win!
Oh, she made the lamp to win the game! It was the buzzer beater, Florida International.
Yes, yes.
There was one, a soccer match, and people who are friends of mine will know this because people made fun of me for a long time. I was calling a soccer match and like trying to get into the game, and Clemson scored like 20 seconds in. Legit, like off the kickoff, boom, sent the ball in, header, goal, and I was not prepared for it. So I was like, the Tigers already on the scoreboard. And people, you know, that's just a thing, especially people that worked with us at the time. So I'm always down for a good voice crack. Here are the three best voice cracks of all time, brought to you by Janet Candler. We'll tell you about Janet
We will. I don't know if it's all time, but definitely recent memory. You'll know all these. The first one, Sean McDonough's voice crack very recently in your wild card game, the Titans and the Chiefs. Enjoy.
This touchdown, by the way, was waved off. This didn't even count.
It didn't even count. Yeah. Here we go.
The ball comes out. The ball has come out. Derek Johnson, the all-time leading tackler in the history of the Chiefs, with a touchdown for Kansas City. Marcus Peters ripped it away from Derrick Henry.
One of the great plays I have ever seen.
Leading tackler in the history of the Chiefs, with a touchdown for Kansas City.
You got to love Gruden, too. One of the great defensive plays that I have ever seen.
Right.
And Sean, I can't believe that your voice cracked to that level calling that play. Just tremendous.
I can't believe I have to work with
tremendous.
You. I think I'm going to go coach the Raiders.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
I mean, that one's elite. And the fact that it didn't count, I mean, that makes it even better.
it was great. I tweeted that it was some Quark level voice cracking, and it was. Also, did you see that there were people talking about how... like, McDonough kept talking to Gruden about, like, maybe this can be your last game, and Gruden was like, come on, guys, no way.
He kind of was denying it.
And there was some tension. But then afterwards, McDonough, like, got emotional at the end of the game.
Really,
you saw that? Mm. And it was a tender embrace, and basically they announced it without announcing it, that he was going to leave. It was his last game, and you could tell Gruden was a little touched by it.
I agree. Texter, 864. Uh-huh. You're reading our mind, Texter. He gets in and says, the block punt from Michigan State against Michigan for the win.
Oh, are you sure?
I'm
are you
so
sure
glad.
One of the three best?
I'm so glad you asked.
Out. Oh.
has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
And Jackson scores on the last play of the game.
All right, which one's better, the Chiefs call or that one?
Game. Yeah, that one's good. That one's really good.
You know what leads to the voice crack though? This is what happened in the Natty. It's the touchdown that you're not like there
yeah,
are plays
the
where you're expecting.
Element.
You're expecting something great to happen. When something surprising happens, you don't have time to like prepare mentally. You're just going with it. The fumble, the Titans were gonna run out the clock and win, and that fumble return was unexpected. Block punt for a touchdown. Are you kidding me? That wasn't gonna happen. The McKelvey, that one.
I mean, Jim Harbaugh never loses those games, so how would you think that was going to happen?
Nice. Hey, you give yourself one of those. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
And what's the third one?
Texters need to get out of our minds. Quack, I'm dying. 803 just texted us. Georgia Tech, Florida State. What a time to be alive.
My favorite.
Oh, my gosh. Here it is.
To remain unbeaten and perhaps a player in the college football playoff and the 29th consecutive conference win. Blocked, snuffed, rubbed out, erased. And Georgia Tech with an opportunity. Austin, still on his feet. One man, you can't believe what just happened. What a time to be alive.
That's my favorite.
What a time to be alive.
Snuffed. Erased.
Sanders was doing it, like doing emotions. It was really good.
He ran out of synonyms. Good word.
And then Austin's still running, and so he's got to keep calling him.
See, popular question, is that Sean McDonough? No, it is actually some guy named Mark Jones.
Yeah.
I looked it
up. Who?
Mark Jones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But maybe he's a prodigy of Sean McDonough. You know?
Oh, mercy.
A protege, not a prodigy.
A protege. He's a prodigy of McDonough. What was your favorite one of the three?
Oh, man. Honestly, I think What a Time to Be Alive is my favorite one.
It came out of nowhere.
It came out of nowhere, and he caps it off with, you can't believe what you just saw, which is great. And then he pauses for a second, and then he just lets it out. What a time to be alive. And it's just great.
That was also around the time Drake released that album, What a Time to Be Alive. So that has something to do with it.
I didn't think about that. You know, I'm down with that. I'm down with it.
He's trying to
it's
be
real.
You're right, Sandy. You're right. It was a big thing then. And that was when Florida State was ranked in the top 10.
Some Sander Sullivan wannabe missed a golden opportunity there to put Drake's What a Time to Be Alive and dub it over.
Right after he finishes saying that?
Oh, yeah.
That would have been great. Anyway, there's your three voice crack calls that we promised you from yesterday.
All right, if you notice on the Health There text line, there's a text that says from the 864, ask Qualk about women's soccer, Tigers already on the scoreboard. So I told you, that one lives. It lives. It was one of the first.
People remember that.
It's when they were starting to put highlights online, and it was one of the highlights. Already on the scoreboard. That's me. So, the voice crack's great. Then Chip in 6 Miles says, Kelly Qualk, I listened to y'all call the women's basketball game versus FIU. I laughed so hard at Qualk that I pulled a muscle in my stomach. So that's what people got from the buzzer beater. Buzzer beating win.
I was so into the moment because it was a buzzer beater, but then for a hot second I just looked at you and thought, oh no. But then I got back to the game. But I mean, it was, but you know, you were in the moment and I thought you did a really good job besides the voice cracking. Otherwise, very good.
The one that you missed, and this is Scott on Twitter, you got to do Woody to McKelvey. That would be the Clemson fans' favorite one, is the Woody Dantzler bomb to J.J. McKelvey in 2000. Was that 2000? It was 01. It was 01, the Georgia Tech game where Woody Dantzler ran it 44-41, where he ran it in overtime on the quarterback draw, 47-44, whatever it was. And McDonough was calling that the McKelvey. That, when I say that, that's what it is. Because it was like a 60-yard catch to J.J. McKelvey. It was a big play in that game. That will forever be the Clemson fans' favorite voice crack call of all time. I still like the Chiefs one because he got so into that, and the play was, I mean, he was definitely down the whole time, and it didn't even count.
And I think you had the most voice cracks per second in the Titans-Chiefs one.
Oh, yeah.
His voice just kept going.
Gruden, right after, that has got to be one of the greatest plays that I have ever seen. Wow. What a tremendous effort. He says tremendous, by the way.
He does say.
What a tremendous effort.
He says tremendous a lot.
Tremendous. That's what he is. Oh, man.
He's a
God bless John Gruden.
Very rich.
Who is going to replace Gruden in the Monday Night Football booth?
My money is on Tony Romo.
You think Romo's leaving CBS after a year?
You know what I think he could be swayed away.
You know what I think should happen?
You know what talks.
Phil Simms got bumped for Romo. I think Phil Simms should leave that cast of characters on NFL Today and go there.
Does
even
he have
Simms
enough
been
of a personality?
With CBS for 20 years. I don't know.
I think they want a personality. They want a personality and a name. Phil Simms is a name, but a name that draws people to the TV.
You know who I would love to see is Trent Dilfer in there.
Yeah.
Dilfer's Dimes. I would love to see Dilfer. He would bring a similar energy to Gruden, I would think.
I've heard Steve Young. That's what Brad Steve and Ben Young. Were talking about. But I don't know if he brings enough energy and personality.
I'd be down with Steve Young. This hour brought to you by Janet Candler, by the way. Janet Candler, Kelly Gramlich's favorite realtor in the upstate.
You're darn right she is. Janet Candler Properties. She has been serving the upstate for a while now. She's your one-stop shop for any sort of home needs. If you're looking to buy a home and find the home that is perfect for you and your family, Janet Candler is here to help you. She wants to build that relationship with you and make sure she finds the home that you and your family can live in for many, many years. So call her today. Janet Candler Properties. Call her 864-313-6990. Also, visit her on Facebook, Janet Candler Properties. Just search that, and you'll see all sorts of good information there. And call Janet Candler with the Totes team at Berkshire Hathaway. See Dan Joyner.
Thanks very much. We'll be with you tomorrow from the Triangle. Clemson with a double dip.
It'll be my favorite place, Chapel Hill.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to see if I can find someone in a classroom.
Props to Don Munson for bringing me this rolly bag to take on the flight. Props to him. What a baller he is. God bless. We'll see you then.